Are you itching to get out and serve your community, but you're at a loss for ideas? Would you like to encourage your kids to learn to be the hands and feet of Christ? Do you want your kids to get out of the home and into the community with their service? Today, we will share some great ideas for service projects to help get you started.
Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the Homeschool Community Builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged, even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you.
Hello, friends. We're excited to be here today to give you some inspiration in planning service projects for your community. This is certainly not a comprehensive list, and we would love to hear your ideas as well if you join us in our Facebook group and join the conversation there. So we are so excited to talk about service projects, especially me. It's in our mission statement. But let's talk a little bit about why do we want to serve? What's the benefit of serving other than getting out there and making relationships with our community? So what are some of the reasons? Why do we want to serve?
Okay, well, I'll say the first one. I think number one, we are called to serve as Christians and we are trying to be the light to our community. And so if we advertise ourselves as a Christian homeschool group and we don't show that to our community around us, then I think we're missing a great opportunity to be the light of Christ. I think we're all called to serve in some way.
I agree.
Another reason it's important to serve for our community is that we love to serve inside of our community. So we not only serve one another inside of our community, because let's face it, when you're in community, there's always somebody in crisis. There's always somebody that needs something, a meal or support or a helping hand, moving or whatever. But also that can build connection within your community. When somebody's got your back and they're showing up when you need to move or you need something, that builds that family type of connection within your community, and it strengthens your relationships. But also, we love to serve outside of our immediate community within our city. And we've been able to build some relationships with our police department and fire department to where we go and serve them every year. And people in our community also know us for being the hands and feet of God.
Yeah, that's really good. Another reason why we do this is that it builds character and strengthens our faith, both as adults and for our kids as well. Sometimes they might be put in challenging situations that can grow and stretch them in ways that you can't duplicate at home within the four walls of your house.
Yeah, it definitely challenges kids. It definitely takes them out of their comfort zone, because oftentimes you're serving populations that may not be who you typically interact with. And so it teaches kids too, I think, to see the humanity in all the people that they serve, that there's real needs out there. And well, also that we have so much and we have so much to be thankful for, that if we are in a position to serve others, that means that we have been blessed. And so it I think it improves the gratitude factor as well.
For sure. Yep.
That is true. That's why I love when Christmas time comes around, our co-op takes the month of December off. And so often that month, my kids are talking about all of the things that they want, and it becomes very me, 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 me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start serving like crazy because it really helps them put their mind on somebody else and their heart in somebody else's shoes so that they can love other people. They can learn to love other people. But they need that perspective to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's never been a time when we have done a service project that I've regretted it for sure. And nearly every single time we walk away and the kids are thoughtful and they're thinking about somebody else. And it's just not the normal thing in our culture. So any opportunity that we can give them, I think is going to be great for them.
Yeah, it's a good witness to our kids. And it also helps us have an opportunity to help them to behave in other environments too. Mm-hmm. I have never regretted any service projects. I've regretted my kids' behavior at some of the service projects we've been on. And the people receiving may have regretted it a little bit too, but
that's the character building, right? We need those experiences to build character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good building learning. Character or building my character, but somebody's character is being built.
Okay. Oh. So we have kind of covered why you might serve, that it's really, there are a lot of good reasons to do it. What are some of the things that you need to consider when you're setting up a service project? Hannah, you're really good at these kinds of details. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Some things that you want to consider is what is the age group of this activity? What would be appropriate? Going, if you have a big city around you, doing inner city ministry might not be appropriate for elementary school, right? They might come across some big and challenging things that might be better suited to a high school crew.
Yeah.
Pam, what are some ones that you have come across that the age factor made a really big difference?
Serving the homeless was one. We live in Brighton, which is just a suburb out of Denver. And we did one that's called Open Door Ministries, and they serve women and homeless people. They have housing for women there, and it's downtown. It's not in a super great part of town. I'd say that it was probably seventh grade and up that went down. Some of it was just cleaning the building. The littles can't necessarily do that all that great. And sometimes it's harder to keep an eye on them in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that. We also did one for where you take clothes in and supplies, and then they give those things out. And those were really good for the youngers because the littles were able to, they just hung the clothes up on hangers and whatnot. And so that was really great for the littles.
Another great opportunity for little kids is any kind of service in a nursing home, because the elderly just love those little kids, and they're not quite so enamored with the older kids, but the little kids really bring a smile to the elderly's face. That's a great opportunity for them too.
For sure.
Yeah.
And another thing to consider is group size. So if you are serving in a soup kitchen, you may not need 50 people. So you need to know ahead of time how many people can accommodate whatever project that you're doing so that you don't have a lot of people standing around or being bored.
Yeah.
Right. We just got done this past month doing a service project for the police officers in our community. And it's a bigger one that we do. So we make breakfast. It's actually a 2-day project. We make breakfast and burritos and pancakes and everything the day before, and muffins and fruit and green chili and all of it. And then the next day we wake up real early at like 4:30 a.m. and get there for the morning shift, and when the morning shift and when the evening shift is coming off. And so that is a good one for a big group of people, because what we do is we sit down and have breakfast with them, and then that talk about getting the kids out of their comfort zones. We make them go sit down and talk to the police officers. We have them do, but that's a great one for all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are enamored with their equipment. They're so appreciative, and it's super fun. But you could also serve them by just dropping goodies off. It doesn't have to be a big, huge thing. It could be you just get together with some of your community and contact the community resource officer there and just let them know that you're going to come by and bring goodies. I will tell you, though, when you go and you sit with them and talk with them, they appreciate it so much, and it builds that relationship. We've seen people outside of serving there in the community, and we're like, hey, how do I know you? And then realize it was that we knew them from serving. And they're like, oh, yeah, you guys are the homeschool co-op. And we're like, yeah, that's us. So that
yeah, have you ever gotten out of a ticket that way?
I have not.
Just kidding.
I have not been pulled over since then. I would be probably way more embarrassed than I would trying to work the system, though.
Totally.
I'd be like, oh no, they're gonna know. They're gonna associate our co-op with me speaking or whatever. No, but that's a good one for large groups and just getting together and doing a small group, making goodies and dropping them off.
So before we go into like a list of different kinds of service projects, are there any other things to consider? We have the age, the group size. What about how many chaperones, or, you know, is it going to be kids doing it? Is it going to be kids and parents doing it? You know, making sure that you have the right amount of adults to children. What else can you think of?
I would say before you either leave to go there or before you enter in the building, pray all together, and so that God can work through the time that you're investing into this project, and go over the ground rules first.
Yeah.
So that no one is surprised and you're not always trailing after people correcting things. Everybody knows what's coming before you even start, and remind everyone of the purpose of why we're here, and that they are a representative of your community. And so check attitudes at the door, come ready to work and to give sacrificially of their energy and their time, and have fun while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you can implement, and something that we've done too, is that we usually try to plan one service project a month. And then if there's people inside of our community that have something else going on, we try and jump on with whatever it is that God's calling them to do as well. But we've found that it's important to be intentional. So we create a calendar and we schedule one a month, one big one a month.
Do you plan this all out for the whole year at one time, Pam, or are you adding to the calendar as you go?
I am going to post in the notes below a document for you that you can duplicate and keep track of all of your things. But we try to do some in a 1 year calendar. And then the people within our community, we ask them to fill in the other spots, because we want to have something so that people have something to participate in. But then we also want to leave it a little bit organic so that we can also do what other people are passionate about, and where we want to jump on board and do what other people are being called for, because it keeps them fresh. And they're not, oh, we do the same thing over and over and over again. You know,
right? Well, also, it creates ownership of those events in your community. If somebody else is planning it, then you're going to get better participation and, more enthusiasm and all the things, right? It's always good to have other people helping you plan these things.
Yeah, God doesn't work in isolation And he's not just working inside of the board and showing them where he's moving. He's working it in your community. And it might be that it's somebody's mom or something that's having hip surgery and you want to go start a meal train for them, you know, and you're not immediately connected with that person, but somebody in your community is. And so when you can serve that person, you're also serving the person in your community. You're loving them by loving the people that they love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Sometimes when you're doing a service project, it's going to cost you money. It could either be money, cash money, greenbacks, or it could be sweat equity, or it could just be your time. So that's something also to consider when you're planning your service project. How are you going to come up with that money? Is everybody going to do a collection? Are you going to go out and do a fundraiser to be able to provide the money to make it happen? Or is it just going to be you're digging a hole or something like that, and it's just a matter of people working hard together to make it happen? So that's another thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that I have a spreadsheet, and you know how much I love spreadsheets, but I do love spreadsheets. I love everything organized in the spreadsheet. So I created one, and I'm going to have it in the show notes for you below. And in it, it's going to have all of the things that we've talked about. The what, the when, where, time, how much does it necessarily going to cost you, the age group of the servers, the people that you're going to serve, where it's at. You'll have a contact who you will your connection of how to plan the thing and their phone number, email, any kind of additional information, and whoever is the coordinator. Hannah, you asked if we had a calendar that we do. So we also keep all of this in one place. So we would have a calendar and in one tab that would say Monday, Tuesday, or not Monday, the months of the year. And then next to it, it would have who's going to be the coordinator within your community that's going to plan it, as well as what service project they're going to plan. So then you can give this out to the people in your community and they can go there and they can sign up. That way everybody knows when something, which month has been taken.
That's great. I really like that.
And then we keep a tab for each service project as well. So like, for example, the police, it's a lot that happens for that one. So it's all of the food mm-hmm. that we're going to bring, who's going to bring what types of things. We bring crock pots to keep the burritos warm. It's, you know, this whole thing. Maybe it's not as, you know, in depth as that for a different one. You maybe in that tab, you're going to put who's going to drive. Maybe there's a parking situation where there's not very much parking, so you want a carpool. So then you can add that to it. Then what I would recommend is, after you're done with your service project, is going back and then just doing a debrief. What worked? What didn't work? What could we do better? Should we do this again? What other opportunities are there for that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I recommend doing that with everything that you do, service project, field trip, any activity that you do, always right away. Do a debrief.
Take the notes.
Mm-hmm. Take the notes and put them in there for the next year, because then you just duplicate this whole thing. You're ready to go for next year. It's all right there.
Yeah. We do not want to reinvent the wheel every mm-hmm. year.
No. Yeah. And you don't have to, because it's all there. So one other thing I would add to it is, how many people are you serving? Because that might make a difference too.
Yeah.
And then you just get the word out. You post it on your platform that you communicate with your group. And maybe it's a Sign Up Genius or Facebook, or we use one called Band, or it's texting or emailing. But you get the word out, you get people signed up, get the people coordinating it, and you'll be on your way to be in the hands and feet of God of your community.
One other thing I love about service projects is you can often pull in sort of the people on the periphery that may be not enrolled in your homeschool co-op, but their family members or their other friends or their people that you might know. Like, you can often have your community plus at a service mm-hmm. project, because people, they don't organize them themselves, but a lot of people love to serve. And so they look for those opportunities. So that's kind of a nice way to pull people in.
For sure. We've had quite a few people join in that aren't enrolled in our community, like the packing at the Operation Christmas Child Center down in Denver. We always have people that join in that aren't enrolled at our community. And that's awesome. It's so good. Yeah. And they appreciate the opportunity to be able to come alongside and do it with friends.
Right.
And it's on top of that, it's one more opportunity to be a witness to people, because sometimes those people may not be Christian or they may not know what we're all about, but we're able to show with our actions and witness what we're about through our actions. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we go through some ideas for people? We're going to kind of go through a whole list of things that we have either done or that we know about, just to give you all ideas of what you can do in your community. And obviously not every town or city is going to be the same, but in general, these needs are there wherever you live. Let's just start at the top, shall we?
Yeah. The first one is church grounds or wherever you happen to meet, clean up and beautifying. The church always appreciates, even if they have a cleaning crew, having things picked up, you know, trash from the bushes or planting flowers, or it could be very simple, or, you know, you can work with the church and do something a little more complex, but they always appreciate that. And it's a good way to invest further into where we meet on the regular.
Yeah. And that's one that is great for all ages. And yes, it doesn't have to take any extra planning, hardly. It can just be a really quick, easy one to do.
Yeah. Many hands make light work. Yeah. You know, you cut lunch short 15 minutes or something, and then everybody has a partner, cleans up, and then it's done.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know.
Super easy.
Super easy. Another one, the church where we meet, they actually have their own food pantry. And so we've been partnering with them for the last several years to fill Thanksgiving boxes. This year, they're putting out 200 Thanksgiving boxes to the community at large. And boy, it feels really good to be able to help with that endeavor, because that's a really big undertaking for sure.
Mm-hmm. And those food pantries, they need help all year round too. So
all the time.
They are grateful for help any time of the year. And that's another good one for littles, I found as well.
Yes.
Like putting food in bags, they love it.
Just collecting food items, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to help with the food pantries.
Yeah, collecting is a really great way as a community to contribute, because you can be like, okay, this month we're doing cereal or something. And then everybody brings a box of cereal or something.
Yeah.
One of my favorite service projects is Operation Christmas Child. I'm sure most people are familiar with it. We are lucky enough in Denver to have a distribution center. So we can not only pack boxes, but then we get to take the boxes to the distribution center. And then there is where you package them all up and make sure that they're full of appropriate things, and you pack them in boxes, and that's their last place before they go to their destination. You have to be 13 or older to do that, but the kids get to see all these boxes going to all these needy children. They pray over the boxes. They get to see videos and testimony from children who have received boxes in the past and know what an impact it can have on their life. And I just love what they do. It's so cool that millions of those boxes go out every year. So
yeah,
that's one of my favorite.
That's one of my favorites too. And there's a couple of ways that you can serve with this. So for the off chance that you don't know what Operation Christmas Child is, it is through a ministry called Samaritan's Purse. And what they do is they take these shoe boxes and they fill it with stuff, and then they send it to people all around the world to share the gospel in that way. There are people that gather stuff and put them in the boxes. And then, like Molly said, it's the center. They put those boxes inside of bigger boxes and then ship them off to places where there's a need. But there's another thing that you can do if you weren't, if you didn't have access to the shipping place, you can also do these boxes. So I went to a church one time and they did a sewing project, or you could do a knitting project where you knit headbands or something, and then you could put those in the boxes. Do something specifically for the boxes as well as your service project. So you could get two birds with one stone. Like you could do like a sewing project and do one of those string backpack things, or you can, you know, do a knitting project or have a club and then be able to give those goods in those shoe boxes.
Yes. So the next one we have is Christmas caroling at nursing homes. I love this one as well. There's always opportunities to serve at Christmas time, I think, because it is such an emotional time for people. And those who are lonely are the ones that I think that we should try to serve. And so when you take children and you Christmas carol around a nursing home, it doesn't matter how bad you sound. The old people love it so much. They love it. And
they
want to shake hands with the kids and they want to give them hugs. And I mean, during COVID, it was a little interesting. We couldn't really do it, but it's just it's a rewarding thing to do. And that's pretty easy to organize as well. It's really just setting up a time and knowing that you have a few songs that you can sing together.
We've even just gone around our neighborhood and have done that in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. People are pretty shocked when they get carolers at their doors. They think you're trying to sell something, but we've also done homeless care bags. These are really great to be able to come together. It's basically just taking like a gallon size bag, getting your community to donate some things like socks or toothpaste or toiletries or anything that you could just keep in your car even. And hand out the window when you see a homeless person. You can go out and deliver them and connect with homeless people and talk to them. We've put the little, I forget what they're called, tracks, I think, that shares the gospel in it as well. Mm-hmm. So those are really super easy to put together, a great way to connect with your community as you're doing it. And then another way to help people when it's, especially in Colorado, it gets pretty cold around here.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to serving at the homeless shelter. They often need help, but again, this, I think we mentioned before, is probably more appropriate for older kids, but serving like a soup in a soup kitchen or whatever they need at the homeless shelter during winter, there's a lot of needs and people in and out of those shelters every day. And so they have to be cleaned. And so if that's an opportunity that you have because you're maybe near a big city where there's a homeless population, that's a great thing to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, you already talked about breakfast for the first responders mm-hmm. and dropping off goodies there. We love to serve our first responders. They need to know that they're loved and appreciated, I think. And so that's a great way to do that.
Yep. You can also partner with Pregnancy Care Center in your area. Ours does an annual fundraiser where they hand out empty bottles, baby bottles. And then the idea is that you fill them with donations and then you bring them back, which helps them in their mission and is easy. It's not a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also, either the pregnancy care centers or some churches have single mom and child services. There's a church in our area that will collect clothing items for children and moms. And then they can just come and shop for free clothes mm-hmm. that have been donated, which is amazing. It's a great resource for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also do yard cleanup or home repairs for elderly or single parents. You can also do foster care go bags. This is one that we've done almost every year. It's a really great one. So foster care go bags are basically backpacks that you fill up, because when somebody is put into foster care, when a child is put into foster care, it's a very traumatizing time for them. And so they are given these backpacks that are age appropriate to them. And sometimes they'll have like a book or a toy or something, whatever is age appropriate for that person, just to underwear or toothbrush, because a lot of times they're taken in a situation where they can't really grab all of their things. And so it's just a comfort for them. And we have people in our community who that's one of those things that they were fostering kids. And so they're the ones that promoted that service project. And it meant a lot more to us to be able to do this for that family. There's other things like different businesses within your community that probably have, we have one called XL Energy. It's an energy company, but they had this community give back volunteer day where they had multiple different kinds of things that you could do. They did homeless care bags and animal shelter toys and all sorts of different kinds of things. So that's another thing to look for is what businesses within your community can you jump on board with and help them to serve as well. One of my favorite service projects is adults with disabilities. Again, sometimes it's older kids that are required for serving, but a lot of times the youngers, if it's like a party, like a Christmas party or something, the youngers can be the runners going and filling up stuff and helping that way. What's one of your guys' favorites? What's your favorite service project?
I love interacting with elderly people because I feel like they are so often just left alone, pushed to the side, forgotten. So caroling, going to the nursing homes, we've done where we've gone on Valentine's Day and made cards and then just gone to the nursing home for a visit. Kids can play their instruments. They love music. Also, they just love interacting with people, knowing that they're not forgotten. So those are some of my favorite.
For sure. That means a lot to them that someone would take the time and just connect and be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite, Hannah?
I don't know. It's quite a few on this list already.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to mention in regards to nursing homes, if you have a performance that you're already doing, like a play, or oftentimes, usually once a year, we'll have a talent display, you can just take that right to the nursing home and perform it for them. You don't have to create something special for the nursing home. Just take what you already have planned for your community and just do that.
Another program that we were involved in did their choir performance, a couple of nursing homes. And that was so great. It was so beautiful. And it stretched some of the kids because some of them were younger and it was maybe a little uncomfortable for them to interact with people that they didn't know. But in the end, they loved it. They loved the feeling that they came away with, knowing that they brought joy to someone else's life that day.
Yeah. You know, actually another favorite one of mine, which it may not be a favorite of the kids, but working for other people, like yard work and cleaning up. There's a program that runs in the summer in our community called Youth in the Community. And they rally all these kids, 12 and above, 12 to 18 years old, and they go out and serve shut-ins and elderly or people that just can't take care of their property. And I mean, it's hard work, but I think it's so rewarding because often kids don't have money that they can give, but they do have energy and they do have that sweat equity, like we talked before, and is so meaningful to people who don't have that.
And they're learning valuable skills at the same time because they have mentors that come alongside these kids that they have very high expectations of a job is not done until it is done. So my kids have done that program also, Molly, and I will tell you, it is very character building and great. It is.
And they come home exhausted, right?
Yes. And they have fun too, but they don't have fun until after they've put in the work.
Yeah.
I wish every community had this because I think it would benefit our society to have kids serving and putting their devices down and coming together to work together to help others.
Well, the truth is that kids want to know that they're needed, right? If they always feel like an accessory, then they think that they want to be served all the time. But actually, when they're serving and they're needed and they can do something meaningful, it builds them up so much. And they come away with such a sense of, I'm important and I matter and I can do something, you know? So yeah, it doesn't, when you're picking weeds, it's hard to do it wrong, right? But all those little hands, boy, they can really make a difference. So I think that that's really a wonderful way for kids to make a huge difference for people.
Yep. That's another one that reminds me of serving in VBS. Because, or in some sort of like serving the church or some sort of like drop off program, so you could go shop type of thing. Because even so, my daughter is 12 right now, and we serve at our church doing children's ministry. And those littles, we serve like 2 year olds, 2 and 3 year olds, and they love the kids, the bigger kids, 12 year olds. And so it makes them feel so important. Because these little kids are looking up to them like they're gods. They love those kids. And it gives them a sense of ownership to the work.
Yeah. So well, I think this idea of serving outside of your age group is also kind of another reason why maybe we should have covered this earlier. But that idea of like you said, building relationships with kids that are not your age, with adults that are not your age, it just helps our children to learn to love people in a way that they don't learn when they're just with their friends.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
And learn to love other people that you don't know. You don't need to know somebody to love them.
Mm-hmm.
You can love, you know, it just helps when you look at other people to remember that they are precious in His sight. They're not just somebody else. They're made in the image of God, and that they deserve to be loved just as much as the people that you know and that are easy to love, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we had a couple more Special Olympics. We talked about doing soup kitchen, clothing drives, after school programs, hospital, like serving the hospital staff. And I'm sure that you listener out there have ideas too. And hopefully this is like really sparked you into getting excited about serving inside your community and then serving in your city.
We would love to hear any ideas that other people have so that we can share these and all benefit from what other people are doing as well.
That's right. So come over to Facebook and join the conversation over there so that we can all benefit from each other's experience with serving in our community.
Yes. I'd like to end with a verse. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord.
And then I have one more scripture in James 2, and it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Bring your faith to life and serve, be the hands and feet of God. We look forward to seeing you out there serving alongside us. See you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in. Then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see ratings and review, then click on write a review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.